If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You know, Sue, this is, I'm actually telling the truth here. There were like six or seven topics yesterday that I had saved over the weekend to my reading list that I specifically wanted to do with you. And I missed the whole text string on Sunday night, or at least the part where you said I'm off on Monday. So it's literally 3 o'clock yesterday. I'm like, where is Sue? And they're like, oh yeah, no, they're getting Trent set up here on the board. So I did not know, but there were a lot of things that happened. Like one is the completion, and we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, of Sagrada Familia.
Oh,
we've both been there.
So huge.
Right, but that's an interesting, it only took 144 years.
Oh my gosh. And they're not totally done, but Pope is going to do the
tomorrow thing.
Yes.
He's going tomorrow. So anyway, there were several things that I held back on because
I love it.
I wanted your opinion. So we'll get to some of that, I think, at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Like I mentioned, my friend Rob Hart, who is an anchor at WBBM in Chicago, this whole Bears moving to Hamilton.
I hate it.
I don't get it. Like, it's one of those, there's a lot of things that I feel like I'm missing on something. One is the Graham Plattner situation in Maine, because that just doesn't make any sense why anyone would support that guy. And the other is the Bears moving to Indiana.
Isn't it just money?
I suppose it is, but what are they doing to their fans? I have no idea. I found a really interesting story, real tragic story, that was in the Free Press at thefp.com by Franny Block, and she joins us this afternoon. It's about a medical student who committed suicide, and the details of the case are rather unusual. Franny is with us this afternoon. Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Doing well, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
This is a weird situation. It was hard for me not to have, you know, a lot of sadness when I read what happened to this doctor, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name, but he was a third-year medical student that was called in to meet the dean of Texas Tech University back in July of last year, and I want you to explain what happened here and, you know, how this kind of went forward.
Yes, so this medical student, he was brought in to meet with the dean after a patient had filed a complaint against him alleging inappropriate behavior. And after the meeting with the dean, he went home. He was suspended from all of his clinical rotations, and he didn't really get a chance to defend himself or kind of see all the evidence presented against himself, though he did offer the dean an explanation. He denied the allegations. But he went home after this meeting with the dean. He actually tried to meet with the school counselor before he went home, and the counselor told him, sorry, you got to fill out some paperwork. You can come back tomorrow. That night at, you know, nearly midnight, he then gets an email from the dean of the medical school at Texas Tech in El Paso that basically outlines what consequences he might face for this allegation. And those consequences were as extreme as dismissal mm-hmm. from the medical school, essentially the end of his entire medical career after 3 years of medical school. And the email from the dean also included a number for a helpline, a mental health helpline that the university had. But by the time that this email was sent at 11:36 p.m., that helpline was closed. And so this is obviously where the story takes an extremely tragic turn. The next day, he took his own life. And his parents have filed a lawsuit against the university, and they think that the school is to blame for that.
So he leaves a note behind for his parents that says, I failed you, I failed in being a good son. I am facing dismissal from school due to a lapse in professionalism and simply cannot bear the shame. And I guess one of the questions that the paperwork asked him to do, as you reported, it said, look, explain what happened, be accountable and honest. It also asked him to explain, what is your plan for this never happening again? And obviously, he's in panic mode. Now, let's talk a little bit about what he admitted and what happened here, because he followed this woman on Instagram and then he unfollowed her relatively quickly, right?
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yes. So that's the allegation here at play, is the patient accused him of improper, asking her inappropriate questions about her dating life. And this was for an OB-GYN rotation. So he was doing a patient intake form. And his defense to the dean, which we see in the notes, actually, that the family got from FOIA requests to the university, we see in these notes that he said, I was asking her questions that were normal of an STD screening. And so he denied that categorically. He did follow the patient on Instagram after the fact, but he had told the dean that she had asked him to do so. And then once he realized, hey, that might actually be a step too far, he unfollowed her. So the family's position on this is that above everything, you know, taking the allegations aside, because they've actually never been proven to be true or not true at this point, that we do know he did follow her on Instagram.
Mm-hmm, right.
The way that the school handled it, according to the family, was to presume he was guilty before moving forward. And you mentioned that email, obviously saying, you know, be accountable when you go in front of the school's disciplinary body to present your case. They're basically saying to him, per the family, like, be accountable for the thing that you did. And the family says, but you never proved that he did it. And this actually follows a very unfortunate pattern that I've seen covering university due process disciplinary systems for years now. And I covered another tragic case at Stanford University, the case of Katie Meyer, who is a student who was accused of spilling coffee on another student. And she was investigated for months by her university, was told that she might not graduate from Stanford. She might not be able to go to Stanford Law School after graduation. And she was also sent an email from the university telling her of these potential consequences after the school's health, mental health counseling services were closed. So unfortunately, that night, she also took her own life. And
that's
so these cases,
crazy. I did not know that one. Yeah.
They follow very similar patterns, and it all kind of roots back to this idea that schools are presuming students guilty before giving them a meaningful chance to respond.
So in this situation with Dougal, the patient that he was treating and that felt she was also a nurse. Did they know each other outside of the doctor-patient relationship, or do we not know that?
We don't know. So there are a lot of questions surrounding the actual interaction itself. And we don't know who this woman is. We don't know the nature of their relationship. We do know that she had some sort of medical background, which his parents used to say, like, listen, they could have been colleagues in a way, and that's why he followed her until he realized, oh, but she was still a patient. So it's quite messy. And the American Medical Association's guidance, too, on how to deal with these types of things regarding patients, social media, it's also not super clear-cut. So it is a very, very messy situation when it comes to what that boundary is. And it's clear that the student, he may have crossed a boundary, but should the school have dealt with it in this way? That's the ultimate question.
And you even say, like, at Texas Tech alone, I don't know how this would apply with other universities, but this is not the first, you know, type of lawsuit along these lines that they've faced, right?
Yes. They face other lawsuits both from medical students and from residents alleging due process in the school's disciplinary process. And I spoke to at least five different students, actually, from Texas Tech Medical School who detailed very similar experiences of going in front of the school's disciplinary body and basically saying that they felt like they never had a chance to actually advocate for themselves. And I'll add one aspect of this story that I think is, if you want to see a positive in this story, it is what the Dougal family is fighting for now in light of what's happened to their son and also Katie Meyer, also these other students at Texas Tech. They are fighting to actually implement a law in Texas, which is now in place in California, thanks to Katie Meyer's parents, that would require students who are public universities, if they're facing the school's disciplinary body, to actually have an advocate with them present so they don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that that's a really it could be an extremely powerful law if it were to go through in Texas. And there's actually a proposal for that to be in federal legislation as well. And it could change the way that all schools, public schools in the country, deal with disciplinary issues.
There was a quote in here from one woman in your story, Franny, where and she's described Sherry Oldfield. She's a midwife and worked with Dougal during his rotation. And she's making the case, like during the OBGYN rotations, that these medical students should not be alone with patients. Is that? That's interesting to me, and there might be something to that, right?
Yes. So I will admit I am not a medical student. I've never been to medical school. So I don't know what that looks like for each different medical school, how they decide how patients are supposed to interact with medical students. But that was one of her critiques of the clinic, is she felt like the clinic was essentially putting these patients in a bad position by essentially leaving them alone with patients who are in a vulnerable state. And you know, in the case of these students, them being young enough to not necessarily have all of the tools at their disposal to handle all the situations properly or be able to defend themselves like in Vibov's case when there's an allegation against him. There was nobody else in that room to know what actually happened.
Franny Block, The Free Press. You can find the story at thefp.com. Really interesting reporting. You know, I'm a big fan. So thank you so much for coming on here this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. It's just a sad, you know, look, I'll admit, like, you can certainly make a case for your doctor following you on Instagram as being pretty creepy, and I don't know what else was said. The problem with a case like this, as she indicated in your reporting, no one else saw what happened.
Well, exactly.
Right. So I think he felt like, I think it's pretty clear he did something inappropriate. Did he do something as inappropriate to cost him his entire medical career? That's, and he felt that way, and I don't know, you don't know what else he's going through, but it's, I don't know if this is necessarily unique to the medical institutions, by the way. I think a lot of this stuff has gotten very, very, you know, tricky with the lawyers across different professions.
Get more at 971talk.com.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.